What do you get when you have one voiceover girl?
And me? That makes two voiceover girls.
Oh, okay. What do you get when you have two voiceover girls separated by one pond and two perspectives?
Oh, I know. You get the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast.
That's right. Let's listen to Romy and Jessica as they share their journey into the voiceover industry.
Welcome to the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast. I'm Jessica Matheson.
Hi, I'm Romy Santosh.
Today, we're speaking with our VO friends again, and this time, we're discussing genres in voiceover. First up, Jason.
Let's see here. So what genres of voiceover do you work in?
At this point, mostly commercial. E-learning, I do have demos for e-learning and explainer videos, corporate videos. Kind of a long-term goal is to get into character animation and gaming work. And I've been kind of getting coaching along the way. But kind of right now, mostly my focus is in the commercial area.
Oh, what kind of commercials have you been doing?
Not too much at the moment. It's mostly auditions that I've been going through. I'm pretty early in my voiceover career. So I did a radio PSA in New Mexico for a drunk driving spot. I did that. I've done some other like kind of corporate stuff. I have a guy who writes copy for businesses that need different things. I think there was one that was specifically like a video brochure, which is kind of interesting. The idea that like a paper you open up and there's a video inside it and the voiceover on top of that. I've done things like that. Seems like it's kind of all over the place, but mostly I'm kind of trying not to overstretch my bounds, especially since I am kind of in the early phases. I find that I like enjoy commercial stuff more. And I think my voice kind of fits more in that commercial realm.
And so I think I might know the answer to this, but what would you say is your favorite genre of voiceover?
I do really enjoy the character work, like specific at this point, animation. But as funny as it is, I would probably right now maybe lean more towards commercial, which yeah. I never thought I would have said when I first started that like commercial would be something that I like to do. But they're short and they're each one is so completely different than the other. It's kind of like I like the variety and I like the you don't know what you're gonna get. You know, one day maybe a sports drink, the other day is like, you know, a really serious piece about, you know, really pushing forward through the, you know, the epidemic and everything. It's really, you know, I like the variety of it. And unfortunately, I guess I also haven't seen enough of the character stuff to really fully say that's my favorite. I think long term, if you ask me in a few years, I may change that and be like, oh, absolutely. Character work is my thing. But you know, right now I would probably lean just a little bit more towards commercial.
Thanks, Jason. Great stuff. I really like how you said something about, you know, ask me later what my favorite genre is, and it might be different than what I'm saying today.
Yep, I absolutely agree. I think it's important not to pigeonhole yourself too early on. Keep your options open because you never know.
I think that's great. Keep your options open. Don't box yourself in and say, this is what I'm doing. It's good to get really good at something and excel at it and maybe learn a new thing later, but don't say that's all you're ever going to do because you're absolutely limiting what you're able to do. Next up, we'll hear from Terrell.
What genres of VO work are you working in currently?
Mostly it's corporate narration, that, you know, a little bit of the medical narration sort of thing, but that's, and a couple of commercials as well, but it's, well, you just kind of can tell by my voice, the kind of voice that I have, that it lends itself to that genre, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's mostly the auditions I get, but I think it's because that's what my voice sounds like, you know? I'm trying to get into more of e-learning as well. I think that I could do well in that also. And it's a little looser, you know, you have a little more fun sort of stuff as well. I get shortlisted, but haven't got the work yet. For stuff that's just kind of really conversational, you know, like you're talking like this kind of thing, which I'd like to do more of that because to me it's easier because it's just being yourself. And that's another thing that I think people getting into voiceover need to learn how to do is to just be themselves behind the mic, which is easier said than done. There's something about when she's standing up and behind that mic, you put on a different persona. To stay being yourself and as well. And I'd like to get into some more medical narration as well. But
that's actually a niche area that I'm interested in. And I've been fortunate to have had a few medical e-learning projects. So doing voiceover for animated videos. So yeah, loving it, but not always easy to get into.
It's just tough to get into everything. And that's why you just keep plugging at it all. And as you get clients, they come back to you and use you again, or you get on their list of favorites or a roster of some type to where they'll at least send you an audition. And that's kind of how you end up doing the same type of genre over and over, is if you did a good job for someone, they're going to want to use you again. And usually it's the same genre. And so there you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, Tara. I thought it was really interesting how you just mentioned that a lot of times the kind of genres that you work in tend to be maybe selected for you a little bit, where your voice fits, your customers continue to buy you over and over again. So you have a tendency to work in the same general area, just sort of by default.
To be honest, that was actually one of the first questions that I had. You know, what genre would my voice be most suited to, or genres? Because I wasn't sure where I should fit in. So I was always asking that question of my mentors. So now let's move on. Who's next?
Next up, Venus. What genres of voiceover work do you work in right now?
So right now, e-learning. I've done a lot of e-learning. I've done some explainer in the past, a lot of medical. You know, e-learning for me, I mean, we all know how it's exploded since COVID. So I think e-learning is definitely the way of the future. I mean, it's definitely one of the most higher paying industries. And it's pretty straightforward. You know, my voice lends quite well to e-learning. And so that's what I'm in right now. You know, eventually, will I get bored of it? I don't know. But eventually, I'd like to see myself doing something maybe a bit more exciting, like animation or gaming or something like that. But again, you know, you have to get coached in that. You can't, you know, some people are just gifted, you know, with these voices. But yeah, I'd like to eventually get into some character work. But yeah, e-learning right now is just where I'm at. And that's where I get most of my work from. So...
And is that in the US for American companies?
In the US. Yep, absolutely. All my marketing, actually, you know, I'm fortunate, I guess you could say, to be a UK voice in New York, because I'm like, you could say, you know, the big fish in the small pond. And contrary to what other people might say, there is a demand for UK voices. And I'm fortunate to live in New York, you know, where there's a lot of different companies and production companies and that that have a need for that. So, yeah, I mean, like I'm in a good position being in New York. So it's definitely working. And again, it's, you know, it's about the effort that you put into it, really, you know, is going to you know, that's where you're going to see the results. So, but yeah, I mean, I'd love to eventually get into other genres. I would. I don't know.
Do you find that you're working remotely, or are you also mixing in some studio time with where you're at in New York?
Oh, no, I'm only remote. I mean, I remember back in the day when I first started, you know, I'd have to get on the train and go to the studio and have the directors in front of you, and it was exciting and I enjoyed the process, but everything is remote now. I mean, I actually, my lovely husband, so supportive of me, actually just built a new studio. I mean, I have to send you photos. It's, I mean, custom built, like 7x8 booth with a studio outside. I have a director's window over there. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. So everything I need is here, which is another great thing. You know, I mean, I get a lot of requests for a UK voice in the US with their own studio. And sometimes I wonder, what does it matter really where you are? you know, whether you're in US or New Zealand, I mean, if you have, you know, if you can work remotely, it's all the same. But yeah, God, I have not been into an actual studio in a long time. I don't even remember. Yeah, wow. So I love my studio. I feel very comfortable here. It's on a lower level, so it's cold. But when I come in, I put my little heater, my Space Saver heater on. It gets warm, and then I turn it off. So, and it's nice. You can make like private phone calls in here and scream, and no one will hear you. It's great. I love it. Yeah, so cool. Totally remote. Yeah, I'm totally remote.
So can I just ask, you're obviously British and you're in the US. Have you had to convince people to use your British accent in the US?
No, I haven't actually. I mean, the only thing that I am concerned about just from my own personal opinion is that because I've been in this country for so long, I have to be careful that my voice doesn't sound like an American trying to do a British voice, because I've adopted this American twang in my daily conversations with other people. But it has some advantages because I don't have an RP voice. I don't think I do. I have more of a broader, I guess you could say, edging into neutral, because it doesn't really sound like I'm a posh Brit. But then there's an element of American in it. So I get a lot of requests for the neutral, you know, transatlantic, whatever it may be. So no, I've never had to convince anyone to use a British voice. I mean, I think, you know, companies, production houses, most of the time they kind of know what they're looking for. So, but when I do a recording or when I'm auditioning, I have to make sure that I bring that British back. You know, it's funny, sometimes I even have to look up words and how they're pronounced, because I'm so used to saying some words in an American way that I forget how they sound in it's just so funny. So, but yeah, you know, UK voices, they're very much in demand, which is a good thing.
Thanks, Venus. I thought it was really interesting how you said that there is such a huge market for the British voice in the US and not so much in other places. I thought that was really interesting. Kind of the opposite, I guess, of what I would have expected.
To be honest, I'm very glad to hear that. It means I've got a bit of a chance then to go over to the other side of the pond and get some work. That's the end of our guest episode for this week. We'll look forward to joining you all again in our next episode. So join us again next time for another voiceover topic. Look forward to being with you again soon. Take care. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us for the VoiceOver Girls Across the Pond podcast. This is where we would normally shout out to our sponsors.
Jessica, we don't have any sponsors yet.
I know, but if we did, this would be the shout out. Hint, hint. Don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast.
And tell all your friends, your family, your neighbors, and everyone else.